the wire out, or are you?
Good morning, all. Congratulations. You are amazing.
Yay.
Why is that then? Why are you amazing? You got the time right. About 4 years, no, probably more than that, about 6 years ago, I came into church and I thought, there's a lot of people here. And I sat down and realised that the sermon was halfway through. Not good. But well done all you for coming. And at about 11:30, start looking around and seeing who comes in. Who's thirsty today? Who's hungry to hear what God has to say? Come, all who is thirsty, come to the water. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without cost and without money. Why spend money on what is not bread and labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and commanders of people. Surely you will summon nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know will come running to you. Has anyone thought about that? Wow, nations will come running to God. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteousness their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to the God, for he will freely pardon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God who longs to seek us, who longs for us to seek him, and he desires to be a part of our life. Let's worship our amazing God together. Let's worship together.
Please stand, and good morning.
Good morning.
Bright sun outside. This song says, I'm a new creation. And wherever you are this morning, just know that you are a new creation. You're no more in condemnation because you stand in his grace.
No more incarnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God.
such love, pure as the whitest snow. Such love, pure as the whitest snow. Such love weeps for the shame.
We were singing that song, Change My Heart, Oh God. I felt God saying, do you really want me to? It's so easy to be stuck in our ways, to be set in the things that we do. that we don't see the need for change. So, Lord God, I pray that you will have your way in our lives, that we will allow you as the potter to shape us into the people that you want us to be. Change me, Lord God, that I might bring glory to your name. Because I know that everything you do for us is in love. Amen. Chris, can you bring us the notices, please?
Thank you. Morning, everybody. So good to welcome visitors with us today. It's lovely to have you with us, and it's particularly lovely to have David and his family with us to share with us this morning. So we do welcome you. After the service, we're going to have some coffee, tea, refreshments just through in Refresh. And we're then going to have a bring and share lunch together. So if you can join us, we'd love you to do that. And if you haven't brought anything, then please still join us. There will be enough. And do stay for a bring and share lunch after our time together here. Last night there was a quiz. I don't know whether... Oh, he's gone. Where's he gone? There he is. I don't know if you want to update us, Max.
It was an incredible night. I have to say thank you to Frieda for helping with all the administration, organising and getting all the paperwork and stuff and selling the tickets. So can we give her a little round of applause for her brilliance, please? Steph was our hostess of the Moses Quiz Mistress and was very good and sort of led the questioning, and I was the ruthless marker taking bribes for cakes and sweets. It was a really good night. We raised £463.02, which is 19 and a bit nights at the Ronnie Mac House in Camberwell. So for your diaries, the next one is probably end of February, sort of February 27th-ish. Get the diaries in and we'll start getting tickets available for that soon. But thank you to everyone that came. It was a really good night.
I didn't announce it last week, but just to be clear, that there's no creche today. No creche today. We're meeting on Wednesday. We meet every Wednesday evening to share together. That's 7:30, coffee, teas and chat, and then we're going to be studying and discussing the millennial reign of Jesus, and Marilyn is going to lead us in that. So that's on Wednesday evening, and we finish around 9, between 9 and 9:30. And on Thursday evening at 7:30, we're meeting for prayer together. Prayer at 7:30 on Thursday. Just a couple of other notices. There's a crèche list at the back, and just behind Rita, actually. It's just on the top there. For anyone who helps with crèche, just to add your name to the list of so as you can take your turn there in supporting that at work. And the directory, it feels as though I keep talking about the directory, but we've now completed the new directory. But having completed it, we want to make sure it's right. So there is a copy on the table at the back. So please would you just check to make sure that we haven't made any errors in email addresses or phone numbers or something. So we're going to do that for a couple of weeks, and then we will distribute the new directory.
Someone up who's invisible. About Heather.
Oh,
yeah. Right at the front.
Okay, as you all know, well, most of you know, Heather Andrews is in India. She's currently in her second year out there doing her mission work, or God's mission work, should I say. And the end of this week, the 30th and 31st of October, which is Friday and Saturday, they're holding the Mumbai Arts Conference, which Heather has been very much involved in organising this year. It's an amazing opportunity for artists, that's musicians, dancers, poets, writers, computery, graphic-y people, to all meet together and learn how they can use their arts to reach people with the gospel in Mumbai and in India. They're coming from all over the place. So it's a really great opportunity for them to get together and encourage each other and learn from each other and really make a difference in an influence in the place that they're in. So I'd just really be grateful if we could just take a few minutes now to just cover that in prayer. And please go away this week and keep covering it in prayer. Build them up so that they all have such an amazing time and come out of there really emboldened and really working for God. So, Lord, we just want to lift up Heather to you now, Lord God. We thank you so much for her and for her faithfulness, Lord, her faithfulness in following that call to India in the first place. And, Lord, we thank you for all the contacts she's made within the arts. We thank you for her music. We thank you for the way she wants to use it for you, Lord. And, Father, I just really pray that her and the team who have organised this event, Lord, will just feel lifted up by you. They will feel carried by you through this whole week, through the preparation and through the event itself, Lord God. I just really pray that you will speak into those lives, into those people, those artists who are going to that event, that they will feel free and they will, I mean, even artists have inhibitions, Lord. I just pray that they will go, Lord, and your spirit will come down mightily on them and that they will just feel, be free and move in a way that they've never moved before in your power, Lord God. That they will be able to encourage each other, build each other up, Lord, and that place will be such a place of motivation. They will be going from there back out into the industry, Lord, and making a difference and changing the arts for your kingdom, God. And that your kingdom will be seen through the work they do and the people they meet and the way that their art influences the people that it touches, Lord. I pray so. It's such a powerful industry. One of the adverts where I said it can transcend language, and it really can. Art, music, dance, it all transcends language, Lord God. And I just pray that you will speak into those spiritual parts of people that they didn't know they had and that haven't been touched previously. Father, we just thank you for this. We thank you for this conference. And we really just pray, Lord, that even us from here, Lord, that we can really make a difference in India and for all those people and all the different places that they're going to touch. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyone else wants to? Come on, church. All right, just say amen really loudly then. Oh, we've got one. Woo!
Okay, mother of the missionary speaks. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you provide us with such amazing opportunities to do your kingdom work and preach the gospel in so many different ways, Lord. It doesn't always need words, as Steph just said. We can do it visually and we can just do it by being who we are. And just praising and thank you, Lord, for Heather's courage in hearing and responding to your call to go to India. Thank you, Lord, that you spent a long time setting that up for her to make that the place for her to be at this time. Thank you that you provided so many things falling into place to bring about her being in the right place, in the right church, and now, Lord, meeting these people to form this group, to bring about this wonderful arts conference. And we do pray, Lord, that you would mightily bless those who are organising it, that, Lord, there would be smooth running, and, Lord, that you would be in every single aspect of that, as you have been in the preparation. And we do pray again that those who come will be mightily blessed and envisioned and inspired, and Lord, that they will really go forth and use the gifts and skills that you've given them in the arts to share the gospel, share their faith, and Lord, just extend your kingdom in that country. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Father, that Heather's gone to a place where it's barren land. But where Heather is, Father God, that there will be living waters that will flow. And I just thank you for the doors of opportunity that you constantly open for Heather. And I thank you for the seeds that she has planted. And we just look forward and we're so greatly delighted at the fruits that she is actually gathering, that you are gathering through Heather. And so I just pray that the Holy Spirit, you will continue to inspire Heather, that you will continue to lead her in the places where, Heavenly Father, that you want her to be. And I pray, Heavenly Father, too, that you would prepare the hearts, the minds, and the spirits of those who will come in contact with you through Heather. And I just praise you and I thank you for the mighty work that you are doing through Heather. And through all of this, Heather is growing in her relationship with you. And I thank you for the feedback that we get from Heather. It's so encouraging, Father, and it gives us a blessing. It gives us hope for ourselves, Father God, that we can be a missionary, if you like, in our community, in our own family. And so, Father God, I just thank you and praise you for Heather. Thank you for your adopted daughter. Thank you that she's part of this family here in Belvedere. And may she continue to grow in you. And because of that, Lord, we too will grow in you. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Brilliant. Okay. So that's Friday and Saturday this week, just to remind you. And I'm going to really try and get a Skype link together for next week so Heather can tell us all about it. If I don't manage a Skype link, then I will really manage an email. Okay, but hopefully next week we'll hear about all the amazing thing that God has done.
Wonderful. We all know Heather. The impact that she's had is way beyond what she can do. It's not down to her talent, although she's very talented. It's not down to her enthusiasm, although she's very enthusiastic. It's down to being willing to let God have his way in her life. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to ask for your prayers about issues that are close to your heart in other places. We support loads of charities within this body. So this is a time where you can pray about the things that we hear day by day on the news, where we just need God in there, where God needs to be touching the hearts of the people that are there. So please, as you feel led to pray, please put your hand up and I'll bring a mic over. Wonderful.
Father, I just want to pray for our young people, for young people in schools, our teenagers. We lift them up to you, Lord. We know that you love them dearly. We know, Lord, that you died on the cross for them. And Father, we pray that they would come to know your love. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that they would see your light. We pray that you would deliver them from all the strongholds and things that would seek to prevent them from coming to know you. We pray, Father, that you would deliver them from drug addiction, that you would deliver them from immorality. Father, we pray that you would cause them to be young people that are on fire for you, young people that know their worth, young people that know that they have a future and a hope, young people that know their God. So, Father, we pray that by your Spirit you will move upon all the different schools in the area. We pray for the Christian unions. Father, we pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon the Christian unions. We pray that you would raise up young people, Lord, to stand for you in their schools in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that they'd be able to stand and not be ashamed. We pray for your light to fill their hearts, Lord. We pray that they would be strong. We pray, Lord, that when they face temptation, they will stand strong. And we just speak a blessing over them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father God, I want to praise you again for HOTS yesterday. I thank you, Lord, that we spoke to so many people yesterday and we gave out so many leaflets. And I thank you, Father God, that we were able to pray with people who have so many needs. They're so hurting, Father God. Their wounds are so deep, Father God. But they came to you through us, Father, and I just give you all the praise and the glory. And I pray, Lord, that even today that they will remember the prayers that we said for them, over them. But more than anything, Father God, I pray that they will cry out to you personally and have that personal relationship with you. Because, Father God, we know that physical healing is wonderful. And yes, it can be a miracle. But it's a miracle, Father God, when one lost soul finds you and accepts you as their Lord and Savior. So I just pray for those people that we met. But I also always want to pray for all the pubs in this area, Father God. Their pubs are their churches, Father. And I pray that this church would build bridges with those pubs, Father God, that we invite them, we want them to come into this church, but we don't ever go into their church. And how are they going to know you, Father God, if we don't be like you, Jesus, and just get alongside people? Because we may be in the pub, but we're not of the pub. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We're passing through. And Lord, I pray that our lives will make a difference because of you, Jesus. Amen.
Just following on, Father, Margaret's prayer, and we're just thinking about those youngsters who are coming here for Alpha week by week. and just so thankful, Lord, for us being able to offer our accommodation for that to take place. And Father, we thank you for each of those youngsters who, I think it's around 40 youngsters who are here. And Father, I just pray for each of those youngsters that as they go through Alpha, that they will indeed come to love you and know you as their Lord. Father, thank you for those leaders who are planning and preparing for those sessions. Just thank you, Lord, for the joy that we have of being able to host that and the joy of knowing that there are so many youngsters coming together on that Friday evening to learn about you, Lord, and to share together. Thank you, Father, so much. Amen.
Father God, I pray for the work of Christians Against Poverty in this area. And Lord, thank you for all that you've set up already here to help people that are dealing with difficulty managing their finances or even in real deep debt and struggling and not knowing where to turn. Thank you, Lord, that just from this church we have CAP money coaches that work across the borough with other money coaches, and we have Job Club here. And now, Lord, we are opening up a debt centre that's going to be based in Erith and Thamesmead. And Lord, we thank you that this work is growing here where there is an enormous need. And we just pray, Lord, that you would enable us to reach out to people in need. And Lord, that you would provide the workforce. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing of the funding that's come in. And Lord, thank you for the gift from this church too. But Lord, it's the foot soldiers that we'll be needing, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, that there will be people willing to support the work that's going on, particularly in the debt centre, for prayer and for visits and for befriending too, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that you will prepare the hearts of those that you're going to call to do this work. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're advancing your kingdom through this wonderful work. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, I'd like to lift up specifically my school and also the other schools in our local boroughs, Lord. We deal with our youngest children from nursery all the way up, Lord, and I just really want to bring them to you now because we're seeing such an increase in mental health issues, Lord, with our youngest children. And they have no say. They have no control over their environments, their immediate environments. They have no control over the influences that come in their lives, Lord. And we are seeing so much upset, confusion, worry, anxiety coming in every day with our children, Lord God. And I just want to pray for every Christian in every school right now, Lord. I pray for wisdom. I pray for integrity. I pray for discernment and how to deal with the horrors that our children are seeing on a daily basis, Lord, and the way it's affecting them. I just want to empower those teachers and all of the teachers around them, Lord, who don't know you, so that we can have a real positive influence on the children in our schools and on their little lives when they don't know security, they don't know that love, Lord, that they so desperately need in order to be able to grow and mature and be secure and to know you. So, Lord God, as the restrictions come on what we can say and what we can do in schools, Lord, especially around proclaiming your name, I just pray, Lord, that we're able to influence them with our actions and with our love and your love, Lord, so that they grow to know you anyway, and that there are external influences that can come into their lives, Lord. I just pray for those particular families that you know are who I have in my mind, Lord. And I pray that some external influence comes in so that there is someone there that can proclaim your name openly to that child and to that family and to that mother, Lord, so that they do grow to know you, because that's what they need. More than anything else, those little children need to know you. So I lift them up now. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I've just come in just off the street, and I just feel a bit of space just to say thanks for my mother. I know she died a long time ago, but she's the only one that's brought me through music and kept me alive through that. And I won't forget that. And it's given and shown to all of my friends that know it, what I am. So thanks. And thank you for listening. Have a good day.
Father, I bring before you all the children. We seem to be focusing on children today, and that's on your heart. I bring them before you, the ones who've been sexually abused, the ones who've been molested. I bring them all before you, the little babies, even adults. I bring them all before you, and I pray that a way would be made for them to be free, to be healed, to receive wholeness, and to reclaim who they are in you and those who are outside of you, Father. You say the sun shine on the just and on the unjust. I pray for them as well. And I pray that in finding their way out through the different avenues that are set up in society to help people in such dilemma, Lord, I pray that they will find you. I pray, Father God, for those whose personalities and characters have been so marred that they don't know who they are. They've been robbed of their destiny because of this thing. Father, I ask for mercy this morning. I ask for continued breakthrough in the unveiling of this secret wickedness. I ask for continued pulling down of the walls. The walls of Berlin came down, and this is no different. Father, it's a stronghold, and it's holding people bound. I really ask for your mercy this morning. In Jesus' name I pray.
Oh God, I want to thank you for the wonderful things that are happening. I thank you for the persecuted church and the things we hear drip-fed to us about how the church is prospering. The church that's growing in Korea. With the people that are suffering death in places, yet will not go against your name. We thank you for the amazing courage and the people that are calling on the name of Jesus when there is nothing else that they can hold on to. Lord God, we ask that you are there in such power for them that they will be your witnesses. That the people that are tormenting them will get an understanding of who you are through what they're doing. We think about ISIS and the horrendous things that are happening there. Let your people be a witness to what's happening, that your glory may be known. And in the local churches, we think about in the local schools, we think about cribs, where doors are being opened, where Christianity is being professed in schools that are not Christian. We think of our street pastors that are going onto the streets where there is trouble, walking into the midst of trouble and saying that God is the way. And the police are just amazed at what's happening through them. We thank you that your church is moving. Help us be a people that desires to move. Help us be a people that desires not to stay where we are, but to seek your face. Lord God, we love you. Move us forward as a people, as individuals, that we may proclaim your name in our workplace, at the bus stop, in the supermarkets, that people will know that you are the King of glory. And that there is none like you. Change this world, Lord God. Start with me. Amen. You'll be delighted to know that with my croaky voice, you won't be listening to me for the next half an hour-ish.
We have a speaker that's come miles away, internationally renowned, probably. I'd like to invite David up. David, do you need this? Oh God, I thank you for David. I thank you for him coming here today and his family. I ask, Lord God, that your words come out of his mouth, that the preparation that's gone in speaks straight into our hearts, that we will know that we have met with the living God today. Be lifted up, Lord God. Amen.
Good morning. Well, I haven't come internationally, but I've come from the seaside, so that's cool. Thank you very much for welcoming us today. I'm here with Sam, my wife. She's a really beautiful one. Just all the ladies like me. My son Samuel's gone out somewhere over there. Do I get him back at the end, or? Can trade in. Better all the time. And then my daughter Sophie, she's over there as well. She's the other beautiful one. So, who's got a Bible? You got one? It's always a safe question to ask in church. Right, turn to Matthew chapter 20, and I'm going to tell you a story. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. We'll read this in a minute. Well, I'll read it first, and then I'll tell you my story. Matthew 20, verse 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Well, 21 years ago, me and Sam got married. And I was 20 years old and she was 19. And as you'll realize, I still look 20 years old. You'll all agree that Sam looks 19, that's just bias, but anyway, there we go. And we were in a situation where we had left our home in Walton-on-Thames, and we'd moved down to a church in Horsham that was just being planted and growing, had a Bible school, and we were working there, doing some charitable work under their umbrella there. And we wanted to carry on working there, but they said, "You're getting married, you need to get a job, pay your own way, get a house." And we didn't have any money to get a house or even to rent one. So they said that they would lend us the first month's rent and so to cover us, or the deposit, so we could kick off our married life. So we were in the situation where for our wedding present, we were asking for money for our honeymoon so we could go on one. So we, we got married on the Saturday, but we booked our honeymoon on the Friday. So that was a bit of stress. We ended up going to Gambia. Which is awesome. But we came back from those 2 weeks, back into our little two-bedroom house, and kicked off married life, me having no job, and Sam just having contributions for the benefits agency paid, and petrol to work, and a few other pennies. Oh, what was the other thing? Something else you had to have. Some bill had to have paid, that was it. But no salary. And the problem was, just as we had planned our marriage and our honeymoon, I had gone for a job at the benefits agency, and they had offered me the job. And I thought, fantastic, going to start off married life with a job. It's all going to kick off great. This is God's blessing. This is how it's supposed to be. Everything was going really well at that time. We were doing youth work. We had a youth group that was growing and grew to about 60, and we ended up doing youth work around the country. And I wrote a book and sung some songs, and it was going fantastic. And then I get this job, and they said, "The date for your training is going to be March the 15th or 16th. And I said, "Oh, I'm going to be on my honeymoon." I said, "Can we do the training later?" And they said, "Well, no, because it's not just for you. it's going to be for about 10 or 11 others, and you've got to go down, you know, you've got to do this train all together. I thought, oh no, this isn't great. So everything was going really well, having this exciting time getting married, wonderful honeymoon, and inside myself I'm thinking, I'm kicking off married life owing £400 to a charity. It's not so bad owing money to a bank. Maybe not even your parents, but owing money to a charity and then a Christian charity. I've got to tell you, I felt bad. I felt bad. I didn't really feel like much of a man either at that point. I wasn't kind of saying to my wife, come spend your life with me. I will look after you. You will be safe. I couldn't really look her parents in the eye and say, have no worries, I will provide. Because actually what I was doing was spending our wedding money on a honeymoon and then borrowing money for the first month's rent. I was in a mess. I was in a mess. And so we came back from my honeymoon and I was filling out forms for jobs. And all I managed to do was get a temping job for an insurance company, answering phone calls to give quotes to people. That is a difficult, brain-dead job. Has anyone ever worked in a call centre? Please don't tell me you're all working call centres now. That'd be embarrassing. You've done it. It's a tricky one, isn't it? Getting out of bed in the morning. You're not looking forward to that day. You know exactly what's going to happen, and your ear's going to be sore, and it's not going to be great. And I just felt this all going to mess. This is a complete and utter mess. There I was on a Friday night, full of faith and power for these young people, taking youth groups around the country to do missions, seeing God's power touch young people, getting filled with the Spirit, saved. I thought it was fantastic. And my life was in a mess. And it got to the point. It got to the point where it was affecting my sleep. It was starting to, you know, I'd be watching the TV and my mind would start drifting on to how the heck am I going to pay this debt back. And I started counting the pennies I was getting. In fact, we were in such a stressful situation that one day I just chose to have a little breakout, a bit of luxury, and have my lunch at McDonald's. I know, it's awesome, isn't it? Really pushing the boat out there. And I told Sam about it. Now, she's an awesome wife, but she let rip at me that time. Because we couldn't really afford it. What was it, £2.88 back in 1927 when we got married or something like that. It was really... Yeah, it was not a lot of money in today's money, but it was back then. And I just realised at that point, man, we're in trouble here. I'm in a mess. And all the money that was coming in, that was what was going out. I remember one morning, we got into our car, headed off to charity, meeting off my temping job, and the petrol was on the red. And I just remember this thought in my head, will I get home from work? You don't want to kick your marriage off like that. That is difficult, and I was in a mess. And so one weekend, we'd gone back to Sam's parents. They lived in Walton-on-Thames, and they had a big four-bedroom house, space for us to sleep. And one morning, I woke up worrying about this situation, not knowing what to do, and thought, the only thing I've got now, I've got to go downstairs, and I've got to talk to the Lord about this. Something needs to happen, or else something bad's going to happen. I'm in trouble. My life is a mess. And I can remember walking down those stairs quietly as it was still dark with everyone else asleep, thinking they've got no idea what I'm struggling with inside. Now, I'm sure there's people here today that are, you're good Christians. You do the right things and you want the right things, but it's not working. It's trouble and you're in a mess, but not many people know it. But you're holding it together inside for the sake of other people. But inside, you're crumbling, and it's a mess. And that's exactly what we're seeing in this story here, except it gets to breaking point. It gets to the point beyond me walking down the steps thinking, I've got to pray about this. These two blokes in this story, they've actually got Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, right there. He's walking past. And I tell you what, their life is a total mess. If you're blind back in those days, 2,000 years ago, the question on people's lips is not, oh, can we get them to the right services? It's not, can we get them some help from the local government? It's not, can we get them linked in with a charity? And can we include them in our society? The issue is, whose fault is it? Is it your fault that you're blind? What have you done to deserve being blind? And if it's not you, It's your parents. What have they done? And straight away, at the point where you need help, you've got people judging you. That's the last thing people need when their life is a mess, is someone judging them, isn't it? But this is the issue that's in their minds. As they're calling out for Jesus' attention, they're thinking, my life's in a mess. It's probably my fault that I'm like this. That's a difficult one to carry. When I walk down those stairs in the morning to pray, talk to God, I was thinking to myself, if you'd have got a better job, you'd have been able to provide. That's what was going through my mind. That is not a good thought to be starting off the day with. Let me tell you that. That's the last thing you need. I don't need a crowd like this, as in this story, to tell me that. Many of us as Christians, we don't need anybody else to tell us how bad things are. We know inside. We don't even need the devil. We do it ourselves about how difficult our situation is. And I was thinking to myself, it's my fault. I shouldn't have bought that McDonald's. I was getting down to minute detail like that. I was tormenting myself. I was in a mess. What makes me laugh about this situation, which I find futile, is there was two blind men together. This may have slipped by you when you read this story, but there was two. Now, I don't know about you, right? But if I was blind, the last person I want to hook up with is another blind person. Because they're not going to help me. I want to hook up with someone who can jolly well see. That's what I'm needing. Now, you will know, and I know, people, they're going through a divorce. And who do they hook up with? They hook up with people who are going through another divorce. That's not going to help. Hook up with someone who's married and who stayed married, no matter what. That's the kind of person you want to hook up with. Sometimes we're in such a mess that we make our life worse. We can't think straight. Our emotions are all over the place. And we're not making sensible decisions, and it just makes it go worse. Now, you might know some people like that, and you're thinking, why did they do that? Here's one of the worst things that's going to happen sometimes if you're struggling financially. The first thing that goes is insurance. I can't afford to pay any money for insurance to protect me against anything else worse happening. And yet, what always happens? Something else happens, and someone says to them, some bright spark says, have you got insurance? No, because I had to cut that so I could buy some food. You get down to sharp issues like that, and that was what was happening here. It was a bit futile. They were in a mess. Now, they were sitting down. I can understand why they were sitting down on the roadside, because they didn't want to fall over. But when you sit down, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's really good at miracles, so you've heard, is walking past, you're not in the best position. We've got this half marathon that happens in High Wycombe, where I live. And it's 13 and a half miles of hell. The London Marathon has nothing on the Wycombe Half Marathon, because Wycombe Half Marathon is like this. Huge hills. We've got hills. You think you've got hills here. You don't have hills here. We have a hill that's a mile long that people don't even want to walk up. And I had to run up it. And do you know what kept me running up it? Was the threat of being crushed by the people behind me. And these guys here, they were on the ground. They were at risk of being crushed. They were in a very vulnerable position with a crowd coming past them. They were dusty. Have anyone here been to Israel? Anyone been to Israel? Okay, you know it's a dusty, dusty old place. Even after it's rained, it's just dusty. And they were sitting in the dust. It's not good for their breathing. It's not good for their... I mean, obviously they couldn't see, but it's not good for anything about their person. And they were going to be overlooked because everyone else is standing up. You've only got to sit down on the street, as I've done with many a homeless person, and watch people go by. People don't even turn their head and see. You just don't get seen. So they are the ones that need Jesus, But they are in the worst position. Their life is a mess. Now, if you know a little bit about your Old Testament, you may know that in this chapter 21 of the book of Leviticus, there's a little law in there which says if you're blind, you can't go close to a priest or to a holy man and offer any kind of sacrifice because you will cause that person to be unclean before God. But that's the kind of person that these two blind people need to get close to. And they're prevented by a law, a good law, from God, which doesn't seem to make sense. And so often when your life is in a mess, it's not just a situation that's against you, it's a law that is against you. How many times have you filled out a long form to apply for something and then you find out that you don't qualify for it? When we were in this situation looking for this extra money to pay back, I filled out some forms for housing benefit. And I worked in the building where they gave out the housing benefit claims. It was a very humbling experience. And I didn't qualify for housing benefit by £5. By £5. The cost of a McDonald's meal. Sometimes even the law is against you. Now you can see here the mess they're in. It basically overcame them, and it was that which caused them to cry out to Jesus, the Son of David, for mercy. And I want to say to you this morning that it's mess that merits mercy. It was their mess that merited the mercy of Jesus and nothing else. They had gone beyond the point of embarrassment. They had gone beyond the point of being nice Jewish people. And our speak would say nice Christians in church. How are you today? Yes, I'm fine, Vicar. Everything's great. Dear God, help me because I might top myself when I go home. And we're still saying it's fine. It's mess that merits mercy. Any barrier that comes in your way at that point, when you're at that edge in your life, any barrier such as a crowd rebuking you, which is what happened. I mean, if we had a crowd like that rebuking blind people today, they'd all be rounded up by the police and taken away for some kind of social law that they've broken, some kind of neglect or something like that. Because it wouldn't be right to treat people with a disability like that. But at that point, they were rebuking them. Because the crowd thought that Jesus wouldn't be interested. But it's mess that merits mercy. You will overcome a barrier like that. You will go back and go back and go back and go back and go back. Because your mess merits mercy. And when Jesus asked them an amazing question, which we'll look at in a minute, they actually said a direct request. How many times have you been in a prayer meeting and someone says something like, "Dear God, we're in a really desperate situation and we would just like to ask if it is possible that within your will, and we seek you, Lord, with all of our heart and ask you to search our hearts and forgive us if there's any wicked way in us. And please, if you could, with all your sovereign wealth, just bail us out just this once. We won't do it again, we promise. If that's okay, thank you. Amen." And we just tiptoe round the tulips, hoping that you never know, God might answer. And the situation that is affronting these guys here was way beyond that. Jesus asked them one question and they gave a direct answer. "We want to see." Now, I don't know about you, but I can think of many other answers to that. Many other requests you could have made to Jesus, in that situation. You could have said something like, "I want to be included in the crowd, Jesus. Just please make my life wonderful so that I, you know, I'm part of everything, you know. Maybe I'd have said something like, oh, Lord, I just pray that with this blindness that I've got, that I could actually still have some opportunities that other people have got. I pray that I wouldn't be overlooked, Lord, maybe by the crowd. Well, whatever it might be. No, they went right for the bullhorns. They went right for it. I want to see, because that is what will make them included. That was what will enable them to make their offerings. That is what will give them the opportunity to meet Jesus Christ and see him. And when you're in that point of mess, you know you've got one chance when Jesus is coming. And it's mess that merits mercy. I walked down those stairs that morning, got into the front room, and I basically kept going down. Got down on my knees, down on the floor, chin on this lovely, soft, white carpet that I was never going to be able to afford, ever hope to be able to afford. And I said, oh God, help. And I just spent moments pouring out my heart to God, a defeated, weak, broken, muscular, strapping, awesome youth worker, totally and utterly defeated. I'm being honest with you, totally and utterly broken inside. I felt a complete hypocrite, and the same old thing went through my mind that's gone through your mind. If anybody knew what I was like now, if anybody saw me now, what would they think? And I heard some wonderful, wonderful words. And it was this: I am your Father, and I am merciful. I am your Father, and I am merciful. And it was at that moment that I began to realize what mercy meant. I realized that I didn't have to pray right to get mercy. I didn't have to live right to get mercy. I didn't have to think right to get mercy. I had to be in a mess, because it's mess that merits mercy. You can finish that bit off for me. And something happened inside of me, and I ran upstairs and I said to Sam, you're never going to guess what. God has paid our debt. And what I was met with was a, what? I'd just woken her up. Light was seeping through the curtains at that point. And it was such wonderful words. And these are the words which these two men heard in this story. Jesus said, what is it you want me to do for you? My goodness. Just savor that moment. Can you imagine God saying to you those unlimited words? There's no limit on that, is there? What do you want me to do for you? Now, often, you and I would say, oh, no, 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 Lord, you've got it wrong. No, 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 not what you can do for me. I just want to tell you, Lord, what I can do for you. If you're in that way this morning, there's no mercy for you. I don't mean to be blunt. Well, I do, actually. And the reason I'm blunt is because sometimes we've got to get through in our hearts so we're ready to receive this amazing mercy. Because it's mess that merits mercy. Now, the powerful thing about this cry for mercy is it stops Jesus in his tracks. And when you are in a mess like I've been describing this morning that was in my life, a mess like these two blind guys have got, you don't feel you have any power. And that is a difficult situation in any community project, any charitable work. You are usually dealing with people, as you know, and we've heard praying, you are dealing with people who don't feel they've got any power to change the situation that they are in. But we do, because it's our mess which merits the mercy. It's not how clean our life is. It's not how good our track record is. It's not whether we say three Hail Marys or whatever it might be. It's our mess that merits the mercy. And that is what stops Jesus. You have the power within your messy life to stop Jesus in his tracks and call him to fix his gaze on you, to give you attention such that he will ask you an incredibly wonderful question. What is it you want me to do for you? That's incredible. You know what I love about this story is the word immediately. It's immediately. So many times when we as humans go and ask another human being for something, they will say, we'll ask them for something. We're in a mess. We'll ask them for mercy. And they'll say, well, I'll give this to you if you promise not to do it again. I'll give this to you if you learn your lesson. Or, well, let's just see how you go. And then I might do X, Y, Z. Absolutely nothing of the thought. Absolutely nothing of the thought with Jesus. Because Jesus has so much mercy, it's literally falling out of his pockets. It's the very core of his being. That's who God is. He is merciful and compassionate. And Jesus responds like a laser beam and says, be healed. And they are healed immediately. It is right for you and I as Christians to believe for immediate things to happen. Anything less doesn't glorify God as much as it could do. Now, I have received miracles over time. You may have received miracles over time. And it's a fantastic story to hear to encourage our faith to accept we can see instantaneous miracles. And all of us who have a messy life this morning qualify. Because it's mess that merits mercy. I walked down those steps, got onto the floor, heard God say those words that he's my Father and that he's merciful. I ran upstairs and I told Sam what God has said to me. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a phone call from the Department of Social Security and said, we offered you a job a few months ago. Are you still available? And I said, you bet I'm available. And I left that insurance company like a shot. It wasn't a great improvement in the salary, but I thought, well, praise God, there's some mercy there. And then this most wonderful, wonderful thing happened. My boss came up to me and said, we're going to send you on 4 weeks training down to Southampton. And my heart sunk. 4 weeks. We've just got married. We live in each other's pockets. We kiss all the time. We're alive. And you want me to spend 4 weeks in Southampton? And then they said these wonderful words, and it was like my Heavenly Father speaking to me. And she said, we're going to give you £56.10. I remember the 10. We're going to give you £56.10 per day. And we've booked you a bed and breakfast for £29 a day. Right there and then, Christians have a dilemma. Do I say anything? What about the extra? So I said right there, and so what do I do with the rest? Give it back? And this lady just laughed like it was God the Father laughing at me. No, you keep it. I literally floated home. And I said to Sam, this is incredible. Our £400 debt is paid. I lived on chips for lunch and chips for tea for 4 weeks. And our debt was paid after those 4 weeks. And it was my mess which merited mercy. That's what it was. And the same for these blind guys here. It's mess that merits the mercy. And I want to say to you this morning, if you're wanting God to move in your life and you've been wanting it for so long and your desperation has got hold of you and you really, really want God to move, I just want to deliver the sad news to you that isn't going to count anything with God. Because it's only mercy and mess that counts. It's not your desire. It says that in Romans 10. If you want to get angry at God because you've been trying hard, you've been doing all the right things and saying the right things and thinking the right things, and what you need still hasn't happened, I want to sadly tell you that situation is going to continue. There is no mercy for you because it's only mess that merits mercy. I want to say that if you are trying to accommodate the struggle that you're feeling, if you're trying to handle it and get used to it and deal with it, I want to sadly say to you, there's no mercy for you. Because it's only mess that merits mercy. I want to say, if you're trying to barter with God, if you're going to strike a deal with God, if you're going to say, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Or, if you dare, say, I've been doing this for you. You should be doing this for me. I want to say to you, you ain't got no mercy. Why? You tell me. Because it's mess merits mercy. If you're someone who wants to appear in control, there's no mercy for you. If you're someone who wants to reason things out and explain everything and understand everything before God works in your situation, there's no mercy for you. Because it's only mess that merits mercy. Imagine how these blind guys are feeling when they walk away. Where do they walk? They follow Jesus. You know what? The church finds it so difficult to get people to follow Jesus. Don't we? If we're honest. Because sometimes we try and get them to follow church. Church isn't the most merciful place all the time. But you will not be able to keep somebody away who has tasted of the mercy of God. You will have to be the crowd getting in their way to stop them following Jesus. No problems with church attendance then. No lack of numbers at the prayer meeting then. No lack of volunteers for mission then. Because that mercy just makes you want to follow and follow and follow. Because there's probably going to be more where that came from. Amen. Let's pray. God wants to pour his mercy out on us today because he is merciful. Now you may have been thinking, as I've been speaking, that's me, that's me, that's me. Oh, I'm like that. I've been like that. And I want to pray a prayer in a minute for you. A simple prayer, but a profound one. And it's going to say this: oh God, help me. There's no magic in the prayer. There's power in the mercy. Now, if you have been in any of those situations I've mentioned this morning, if this passage about these two blind guys speaks to you and you need God to do something for you that you cannot do yourself and you know it, and your life is a mess, in a minute I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. So I want everyone to look down and not look up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to lay hands on you for prayer. Just where you're seated, in a minute when I say put your hand up, I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer for God's mercy. And that prayer is going to stop Jesus. And that prayer is going to cause the mercy of God to start tumbling upon you. So before I ask you to put your hand up, if that is you, make sure you are laying down every bit of control you want to have over the situation. Make sure you're laying down every bit of reputation you're still trying to cling on to about being a great Christian. Make sure you're just laying that anger aside. That's just as to your mess. And that's what draws Jesus in.
Doesn't matter how good you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you are. The issue is God's mercy. And it's available this morning. Because as we pray that prayer in a minute, Jesus stops. And he turns around. It's that cry for mercy that gets his attention. Okay, if that is you, just put your hand up. 13, 14. That's over 15. Father, help. You're merciful. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Mercy on our mess. It's all gone wrong. It's all gone south. Have mercy. Have mercy, God. Just let your cry rise up to God. It's not the quality of your cry, it's just you're crying out because it's over. You've given up and you know your mess, but in that mess, that's the merit for mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on us. Lord, these 15 people that put their hands up, you've seen them. Have mercy on them, Lord. Have mercy on me. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Held dear. All I once held dear, built my life upon. All this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, and so unchanging.
If you cried out to God today, He's the only person you need to speak to. You don't need to speak to someone else. But if you want to, find someone you trust, find someone you really love and you know as a Christian and you really desire to move on forward. Find someone that you trust and talk to. Find one of the leaders if you want to. But God loves you so much. And He desires so much for us. As a great father would love their child. God loves you so much that He died for you. God's grace is there for you. There will be more songs as we finish, but our service is ended. The grace of God is with you. There will be teas and coffees out in Refresh afterwards. Please stay and have fellowship. And afterwards there will be a bring and share lunch. If you haven't brought anything, if you forgot, don't worry. Please stay anyway. Because we can then share as family together. Let's worship as we close our service. Amen.